Hey, hound dog. Hey, hound dogs. I'm David Hankins.
Just the
one hound dog. I'm talking to you, and you know who I'm talking to. Hey, hound dogs. I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
I'm Trevor Hankins.
I'm Julie Cannon.
I'm Jen Moreno.
And I'm Rachel Wells.
All right. And we're on the air with Power Squared. This is our 13th comic book club.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's unlucky.
Oh, it's okay.
This is a book that Julia picked, so maybe that's the unlucky part. No, I'm kidding. The Apothecary. The Apothecary Diaries. So, Julia, you want to tell us why you chose that book and who wrote it? Who's the artist?
So Apothecary Diaries, the story is written by Natsuhyuga and the art's by Neko Kuragi. I believe that's how it's pronounced.
Sounds right.
Sounds right. Basically, it takes place in, like, I don't want to, like, piss off any historians out there, but it's, like, one of the dynasties in China.
It's a fictitious country, but it's sort of like China during, I think, the Qing Dynasty or
something. China-inspired.
Yeah, so basically it involves our protagonist Mao Mao, where she was basically kidnapped and she's basically working in like the inner walls of like higher society. That's the best way I can describe it.
the imperial palace or whatever, right?
Yeah, she works in like the inner city of it, and it basically starts off with her trying to like just keep a low profile and just like doing like the bare minimum, but then she ends up like screwing up and somehow she ends up working higher and higher up in the ranks as like an apothecary.
Well, she discovers there's an illness that she figures out what's the cause of.
Mm-hmm. Like she figures it out, but she doesn't want to like put like attention on herself, so she tries to do it anonymously, but it doesn't work out for her, and well, she ends up.
I like to call it House in Imperial China. Because she solves these medical mysteries.
But everybody would have lupus.
It's not lupus.
Except for the one time it
was lupus. Yeah. Or autoimmune disease. Or whatever. It's like the go-tos for House.
Yeah. It's lupus.
That's right. Or if you cough, oh, it's cancer.
Wait, that's probably... No, I'm kidding.
All right, so what did we all think of the book that Julia picked out?
I liked it.
Okay, good.
Although I was watching the anime before, and at least up to this point, I just seen volume one. I like the anime better, to be honest, because the manga starts immediately with her working in the Imperial Palace, but the anime starts off showing a little bit of her life before she was kidnapped. So we see her dad, her adopted dad, but it shows her how she became an apothecary, or how she procured knowledge of apothecaryism from her dad, and how she works at this brothel. She works among women at a brothel, and how they're like her found family. And then it shows how she's kidnapped. And I kind of like that. I like how it kind of shows us a little bit of who she is before she's in the palace and kind of becomes like, I'm just going to assume this low profile, as opposed to the manga that started out just her there. And I'm like, this boring ass.
We're reviewing the manga, not the anime.
I know. I'm just saying I prefer how the anime did it.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say Mao Mao is best girl.
I love her. She is.
She's very waifu.
she's a mood.
Yes.
Yes.
There are some panels in here that are good reaction image material.
It's true. Mao Mao is such an interesting character because she's so astute. She's supposed to be 17, but whatever situation you put her in, she knows. She seems to know exactly what's going on and how to act and behave and how to get things to go her way without ruffling too many feathers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else? I'm coming at this as an anime watcher. The anime's basically, at least the first season's basically done at this point, so I know a lot of what happens after volume one. But volume one, it kind of disappointed me in the sense that, like, we only get to see, like, up to episode three. And episode four is when stuff really goes down.
Okay.
Has anyone seen it?
No.
No, not the anime.
Sad. No.
I've seen previews, but I'm just like staying away right now with that. I want to look into the manga first.
Oh,
that's fair. That's fair. And
talk about that instead of the anime.
Yeah. I do like how in the manga when we're seeing like things in the perspective of Mama of like why she's there. Mm-hmm. I do like her. What's a good term I can think of? It's like she's basically there. Like it's set as she's there against her will. Though the way she puts about it is she only does the bare minimum because, like, obviously, if you're there against your will, especially by someone who basically sold you off, the gist is she's there and whatever money she makes, it's like a percentage goes to her, like captors or whatever.
I think that's weird, but maybe that's how it worked, but it just seemed
maybe.
How it worked.
Which is the reason why she only does the bare minimum because, like, there's no way in hell I'm going to let the people who sold me off here just. Like get a pretty penny for whatever I'm doing. I'm just gonna do the bare minimum. Screw you. Which, fair enough. You know what? If I was captured, and people are, part of my paycheck is going to the person that brought me here. Yeah. Fair enough. You do you, sweetie.
But I thought it was interesting. She got a job at the palace that she would keep more of the money or all the money or something. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I would. Just,
one of the ladies in waiting made it so that they arranged so that like. Oh no! I guess I'm gonna have to like take some pay from the captors because you broke this vase. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna have to punish you somehow. I guess
That was like when I went to that part. That was rude as crud. But also, what the?
It's very this story is a very interesting look. I don't know exactly how accurate it is to actual. Chinese politics during the Qing dynasty or whatever it's supposed to be inspired by, but it's an interesting, I assume it's at least rooted in some kind of fact. Mm-hmm. And it's just an interesting look at how like a different society and form of politics, how women are treated versus men and how like class manifests, things like that.
I didn't like the fact that she's brought there against her will. That was kind of but she rises above that, I guess.
It's like, the mood she has is, like, she kind of realizes her situation and just, like, accepts it, like, to a certain degree. She's just like, well, I'm here now, might as well get to work, but also, like, she has enough sense in herself to not, like, keel over, I guess is the term I'm trying to find.
She's making lemonade.
Yeah.
She's, like, making the best out of the situation she has, so it's like... You can't blame her for doing that, though. It's like it's a pretty like interesting perspective to see.
Yeah.
Because like, but so sorry, my grandma was calling. I didn't know if she was calling me or just on her phone. I lost my train of thought. But yeah, like the way you see the story is like she's basically put into these hoops, and she just takes like she takes hoops and then goes with the punches with whatever she's given her. So it's like. When she realized like okay I guess I'm getting this promotion, it's like it doesn't really change her exactly, which I could respect.
I also liked at the same time I also liked seeing her like actually get excited about putting her knowledge to use.
Yeah, that part was hilarious, especially with the whole like poison. After she's like, I get to try poison. I'm just like, girl.
Yeah, funny? It's very funny how excited she is about medicines and drugs and poison.
That's what apothecaries were about, though, right?
Yeah, and, I remember I was talking about this with another friend. Like, there's like I know like it's apothecary, but like there was an actual term that's used for like people who actually like. Consume poison to see the effects of it. I'm not sure if it was apothecary, but it was like a different
word.
I mean, it could be.
A like weirdo?
They intentionally like take the poison to like find the symptoms and like probably just try to find a cure for themselves because it's like, let's face it, someone had to eat poison to realize, okay, you probably shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. It was a sketch on Saturday Night Live where. They gave Socrates hemlock, and he didn't know what that was. You should have said it's poison. But anyway.
I was gonna say when we got to seeing her past with experimenting on her on herself, it's like, oh, that's why she has a bandage on her arm on the cover.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't like pay attention to that until it became relevant. It's like, it's been there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also thought it was interesting how the fact that she's trying to say it right, like the only worker there who could read is a plot point.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like the moment in the beginning, like where what was his name? Starts with Jinxi, right? It was Jinxi.
Jinxi.
Yeah, Jinxi. Like the way he figured out, just like just put out a paper that just says, "The girl with the freckles, stay here." Everyone leaves except for her. I'm just like, "Girl, you messed up."
And a funny trick.
Yeah, I'm just like, "Oh no, oh no."
Thought it was like, clever.
Like, I realized at the moment, like in the beginning, when she was going, like, "Oh, it's like a shame, like the other ladies here can't really read because people kind of like subtly just go to her whenever they can't understand something."
Yeah.
So that was like a good tell point of like, yeah, she's one of the few people who could like read who are like a like on lower class or just like in that class.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, oh boy, girl, you messed up.
Jinxi is my favorite character for sure.
He brings out like Ouran High Host Club vibes, like Tamaki.
Yeah, he's totally like Tamaki, especially in the sense that like he's a pretty boy and everyone loves him and he draws eyes everywhere. Mm-hmm. But because Mao Mao, but then he comes across Mao Mao, who doesn't care much for him. He's like, what? Why? So he's like fascinated by her. Mm-hmm. For pretty much that reason. So he like kind of just like hangs on to her like a little puppy for the entirety of the series. He's like, away from me.
I think that's why I also like Mama, because I like that like trope or just like personality where like Mama just like could not be damaged. It's like, I got work to do, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Go gremlin mode.
So Jen, what did you think?
Well, I've only seen previews, so I've only seen like the action scenes of the series.
Not the series.
Yeah. Once I got into reading the manga, I liked the fact that she established that she was a realistic character rather than being like, oh, I'm kidnapped, I'm damsel in distress or whatever, you know. She actually has an acceptance of the situation. It's like, okay, maybe if I do this, this and this and not get in trouble in any way, I can just get out of here with no issue. So that's one thing that I like. Another thing is that many of the characters, usually in manga, like, background characters are just drawn with, like, no face or, like, just general silhouettes. So I like that they actually fleshed out the characters to make it known that these characters are significant and not just throwaways.
Yeah.
And also, many of the things that she goes through is maybe because of her past life and maybe because she's still young, she's 17 and doesn't know what Jin she's. You know, purpose of like believing on her and all that. She feels wary about why he's even doing that, but it establishes a lot of like what's to come, like what she has to put up with, but also like just faces it without an issue because it's something that she knows. As we've talked about, experimented on herself many times with various things just to, you know, figure things out, make new medicine,
I was wondering if, and again, it's a fictitious country, but it is sort of based on China at one point. If there was an expectation that this could happen to you, because people, yeah, you know what I mean, like, because you must have known somebody that got kidnapped or, you know, disappeared for 10, 15 years, whatever.
Yeah. Well, this show is one of the shows that made me like go on a rabbit hole about eunuchs, because like that societal niche is so interesting to me. In ancient China, or at least like up to the Qing Dynasty, eunuchs were often like captured from war. and just like used as slaves.
Yeah.
Specifically, they were made into eunuchs, and like so that they could work in the palace, because if they were just regular men, they couldn't be trusted around like the women that were. Yeah. So, there were definitely like at back then lots of at the very least the spoils of war, were the people that I imagine that went at least a little bit for the women as well.
I don't think eunuchs were unique to China.
Oh no, yeah, not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah, you couldn't trust, you know, a man with testosterone.
At least I wasn't thinking.
Women, so, I mean.
Yeah. And I think that's one of her main fears, too, that she keeps bringing up, and it just results as not that, especially with Jinshi, I think, a few times. Mm-hmm. She brought it up like, well, now I'm screwed, literally. But it turns out to be something different.
Yeah.
All right, so besides watching more of the anime, would you want to read more of the manga?
I actually read up to volume 2.
Wow.
Which
oh, look at you.
No, the thing is, no, it was one of those moments where, like Rachel was right, it does get up to volume 2, and I'm just going to say this if anyone knows how to read it now. I had, like, when I was reading it, I had like a huge hunch there was going to be like a hierarchy type of status going on, to a point where like there was going to be like a plot for it. And let's just say this, when I finally went to that part, I just went, ha! You deserve everything you're getting. That's all I'm gonna address to that situation.
Yes, I do recommend this book.
Yeah,
but like read more than just one of them. It might take a while to like get into it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, it also like proves a point with like how especially with Mamo, she kind of like boosted up the curve, especially when it came to health, which I feel like it's a pretty good thing to like mention, especially if not for like how it could have been during that time period in China, but also maybe just like how things are now, especially with like how things are health, especially with how like they would treat, like how people treat health nowadays as well.
Mm.
That was like something, especially when I was like reading on and during a certain chapter. So I'm like, you know what? That's actually could be something relatable to how we like treat like certain stuff now.
Yeah.
Which is like why I was like happy with how it was resolved.
Do you want to give an example?
It is kind of interesting because this plot point in volume 1 that was kind of started and it's not finished yet. Mm-hmm. About the babies of the emperor were poisoned by this white powder that the women use on their face,
right.
Like this make this foundation they use. That I guess it's implied it uses like arsenic or asbestos or something. You know, it's poisonous.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But you know, they don't realize until it's far too late. They lose one of the babies, Li Hua's babies, one of the main concubines. And I think it's after volume 1 that Li Hua starts to become very sick herself, and they're not sure she's going to make it. And Mao Mao discovers that one of her ladies-in-waiting continues to wear this makeup despite like her telling them that they shouldn't, like it's poison. So she just like tells her like, straight off, and it's very satisfying.
Yeah,
that's and I guess what Julie is trying to say is like that people like even when people know things are bad for their health, they do it anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, it's like when people are like told like, oh, don't use this, it's gonna freaking kill you, and then because oh, like, but it makes me so pretty, why wouldn't you use it? I'm like, because it kills you, lady. Yeah. What do you mean?
Like, like the lady waiting said she wanted to
make you look cool, and so everybody smoked.
Yeah. Same vein. I'm just like,
because the lady actually, you know what? I think it is the lady in waiting put the makeup on Li Hua despite it killing her because she wanted to make her happy. Like, she knew being pretty and make her happy. She just wanted her to at least feel better emotionally. Yeah. So she kept putting the makeup on despite, like, it killing her.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like volume 2 territory. Like,
I guess, yeah, but like they don't really go into that in volume 1. Volume 1 is way too short. It's 160 yeah. pages, but it's not nearly long enough.
Well, it's enough to make me curious about what happens next.
Right.
Yes.
Well, like, I will just say this, like, when Mamo, it's one of those things where, like, she's very reserved, she keeps to herself, but when it matters, like, she'll call you out when it fully matters, and, like, that's something I'm, like, yeah, I liked you before with how, like, out of pocket and just, like, it's like, you're just nonchalant, you're just like, okay, I guess this is happening, and then when I went to that part in Volume 2, I'm just like, you know what, yeah, I respect you even more now.
Okay. I'll tell you what, this story gets so much bigger than what you even see in Volume 1. There's more mysteries that Mau Mau solves even beyond, like, the medical world and poisons. And there's so much... It becomes more of, like, a drama than, like, a mystery or whatever is going on in Volume 1. So I highly recommend going through more of the series.
Alright.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that wraps up the comic book...
Yeah.
Part of the comic book club part of the show. I guess the next, I'm going to pass the torch on to you to pick the next book.
Yeah, so I had an idea for the next comic book club, which was Pompo the Cinephile.
Ooh. Oh, so cute.
Have any of you heard of this?
No.
Okay.
Should I just, like, read off the back?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Gene Feeney is a nervous but devoted film fanatic working in the movie capital of Nollywood, running errands for the baby-faced movie producer Joel Davidovich Pompo Pompanet. When Pompo starts working on a new project, she gives Gene the opportunity of a lifetime. Can he prove that his passion for watching movies is matched only by his talent for filming them? Or will Gene's dreams of cinematic greatness wither as he spends the rest of his life making coffee runs instead of movies?
That sounds lovely.
So they're trying to go from being a showrunner to...
like,
not showrunner. Is it showrunner?
Gopher to, gopher to showrunner more.
Yeah, okay. He goes from gopher to... And he starts as a gopher, but he's given the opportunity to be a director.
I mixed my terms, I'm sorry.
Yeah, showrunner is more higher up.
Yeah. No, because I remember... I was trying to remember the term of, like, the person, like, who mainly does, like, behind stuff, making sure, like, everyone has what they need, like, whether it be food, a script, or something like that.
It's production admin kind of thing.
This also started off as a manga that was published on Pixiv.
Hey.
Oh, right.
Ooh, Pixiv.
Okay, so is that the book?
So does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
yeah. I'll also mention now that Volume 1 got adapted into a movie.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, I'm glad you censored Cinephile. That would have been really bad if you had that on the show.
There's a price sticker.
We bought it used.
If you decide to also watch the movie, it will say that the main feature is exactly 90 minutes, and there is a specific reason for that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You'll find out when you read the manga.
So have you read the manga?
Yeah.
And has Trevor read the manga?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So.
Hey.
We read it because we watched the movie.
I see.
Yeah.
Ah.
Because I wanted to see how different it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll give everybody a chance to find and purchase the book, which is, won't be that hard because it's probably on Amazon.
We already posted it on the Discord.
Okay.
Also, in the
watching the movie is a. Sorry, watching the movie is extra credit.
Yes. Also, in this. In the spirit of Pompo the Cinephile, I was going to ask for one more thing, which is when we talk about it. Also, provide your top three films.
Ooh, okay. Wow. Okay.
This is a fun side thing.
You know, I know my favorite film. I don't know my second and third favorite.
I'll have the opportunity to think of
it. We'll talk about it when we get to that.
Yes.
All right. I know we want to spend some time talking about the creator of Dragon Ball.
Yes, Akira Toriyama.
Who recently died.
Yes.
And it's yours.
So we've been familiar with Dragon Ball for years. Like, since childhood, I was aware of Dragon Ball, and then at some point we actually watched Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and then whatever, everything that came after that. Dragon Ball is a very, Akira Toriyama himself actually is a very influential creator. He's done more than Dragon Ball. He's also done Dr. Slump and Sandland. And Sandland actually recently got a movie and a video game.
Okay. And it's getting a series.
Yeah. And Toriyama's art has also been in... Toriyama's artwork has also been used in Dragon's Quest and Blue Dragon. Video games.
Okay.
Dragon's Quest in particular is really popular in Japan.
Okay.
Anyway, we wanted to just mention how Toriyama has been influential in and out of the manga and anime industries and has left an impact on countless lives.
Right. Do you guys have any thoughts about?
I like the one thing that like whenever like his death was brought was when his death was brought up is like more on the annoying side is like obviously there are people who are trying to like honor him, and the one thing I've mainly just been seeing is just people getting not pissed at him in particular but the people trying to honor him. And it's like TLDR, people are trying to make AI art to honor his death, and it's honestly shooting themselves in the foot more than anything else. That's mainly what I've been seeing on my end after his after the announcement of his death, and obviously the art, like genuine artists getting like pissed off about it, which warranted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why just reviews like it's wake of someone dying? Like, is it time to make my AI Dragon Ball art?
But also respectful to him. No, please.
Yeah. It's rage bait, man. Don't need it.
I just kind of just like, well, okay, this is gonna, well, it's gonna trick on by.
I think the main argument to that is that even when they see flaws in the image, there's it's incomplete, or like you see 10 stars in the Dragon Balls, it's like it's not accurate, and you're still saying you're honoring him, so that's obviously not the case.
Yeah.
Right. On another note related to Toriyama's influence, as a, I guess as a testament to how popular his work is, Mega 64 did a number of in 5 minutes sketches where it's summarizes different Dragon Ball Z arcs, but it's sweeted,
which is how I know anything about it.
Yeah.
Trevor,
those are. Like, hilarious.
Yeah, they're funny.
Dragon Ball, Toriyama had a major influence on, One Piece, because Eiichiro Oda was a big fan of his work, and, like Goku actually inspired Monkey D. Luffy.
Did not know that.
Like in terms of like parts of his personality.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting. Well, people borrow from each other.
Mm-hmm. And then there was on the cover page for one of the One Piece chapters was colored differently. The gutter was colored differently to signify that he had finally passed Dragon Ball in chapter count.
I think he has had a great impact in the manga artist community, especially like there was a time where all the most popular artists, like the author of One Piece, Naruto, all of them interchanged their characters to draw it in their own style.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people appreciated that there was that friendship between them, or like at least like acknowledgement that they hold an importance in the community. And things like Naruto taking inspiration of also the color scheme of Goku's uniform. I think I read that once in a shonen magazine, but I can't really quote on. Don't quote me on that.
Orange is a shonen protagonist. It's official.
What I really liked about Toriyama's art style particularly is that even when he focused on like more action focused material like video games and manga, his art style never stopped being fun.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people that hate in the series take for granted of what the reason why it becomes so popular. The reason it became to be even because of Dragon Ball, where it's not as, you know, Super Saiyan, all this and that. It had a more grounded way of storytelling, where it's just, you know, interpersonal relationship, things like that, traveling around the world, becoming stronger to defend the people you care about, and then it evolved to Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main takeaway about his legacy.
Yeah. Okay. Toriyama has left, has unfortunately had now has projects that are unfinished. The last Dragon Ball movie that he wrote was Dragon Ball Super Superhero, which we liked. And there's an upcoming Dragon Ball series that he had involvement with that was Dragon Ball Daima, which should be interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
So I guess that
is it.
Covers it.
Okay. Anybody have any other things they want to say before?
If I recall, one of the last manga he did was Jocko the Galactic Patrolman, which is do I say the twist?
Yes.
The twist is that it's actually a prequel to Dragon Ball. And Jocko actually shows up in the super timeline.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
He first shows up in Resurrection F.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
I'm Trevor Hankins.
I'm Julie Cannon.
I'm Jen Moreno.
And I'm Rachel Wells.
And you've been on the air with Power Squared.
Bye.